where I wanna be. In your presence, it's, oh Lord. Sharabaka o sekiri bakapa, sharabaka o sekiri. All I see is you, Lord. As I worship and adore you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Abakabo sekiri. Just tell to you, this is where I wanna be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, God. We give you glory. We honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Yeah, praise God. I trust that God is keeping you. You're well. And welcome to the God's presence and to a time of sharing with Him and learning from Him. And I'll go right away to our sharing. And we've been looking at, you know, at the witness and at the testimony of Stephen. And this is just before he is killed and where he becomes the first believer to shed his life, or rather to be killed for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the witness. And the Bible tells us that as he stood, you know, they had accused him. He was one of the deacons who was appointed, the seven men who were waiting on tables. But he was a man full of faith and God's power and wisdom and the Spirit. And he was doing miracles. And they were, the people were happy, but then the council and the elders were not happy. And so they tried to, those believers who are coming from other places, tried to debate with him, and when they could not resist his wisdom and the Spirit from which he spoke from, the Bible says that they set up false witnesses and then they lied, and then he was brought before the council, and the Bible says as he began to speak to them and as everyone's eyes were looking at him, his face shone and started to shine and started to look like the face of an angel. And so he starts to give the witness, and we started seeing that he was starting to show how God has been moving in the lives of Israelites. He is showing the plan of God, because we are seeing that God was at work in the redemption of mankind. God, from the beginning, he chose Abraham. He chose him. And remember Genesis 18:18, is the Bible tells us that God chose Abraham because he will command his children and his children after him into the ways of the Lord. The reason why God chose Abraham is because he saw that Abraham had the stature, had the capacity to command his children and his children after him to follow after the way of their God. So there was something about the character of Abraham that he had the ability to raise men. And even remember when he was going to rescue Lot, he had raised 318 men who were brought up in his household, men who were able to fight, and they defeated five kings. So you can see that he was a man that, it was not just about him. Yes, he did not have a son by that point, but he had raised 318 other men in his household. And God had seen there's something in this man, that he has the capacity to command his family and his children, his sons and his children after him in the ways of the Lord. And God said, this is the man I will choose. And so God's Spirit started to work in him. There was election, there was a choosing that was taking place. And we see how it goes into the life of Isaac, into Jacob, and then into the patriarchs. And then we saw how Joseph, God chose him out of the 12 brothers. He was the son of the second of Rachel, and he was, you know, the firstborn son, and he was the one that was loved, and God chose him, you know, out of all that, and he became a deliverer for them and sent him to Egypt despite all the afflictions. All God was doing was he was preparing him to be a witness, preparing him to be a deliverer of his people. And we can see that even in all history, at each and every point of the history of Israelites, God was raising up someone in that line who will bear his Spirit, someone who will fulfill a specific purpose in that generation. And this timeline that we see in God continues even today. And why do I say that? If you look at Acts, I think it's 18, where it's from, or 17 from verse 26, where it says, the God who made the universe and everything in it, he determined the exact times and places where each and every one of us is to be born. Because from one man, he made all men. And he determined the exact times and places. So there is an exact time, there's an exact place that God has made for you on the earth. And he determined that you will be born after Christ has come. He could have made you be born before Christ, but there was something that God wanted you to do in this time. It's a time where there's such an availability of knowledge. There's an increase in knowledge in the natural world. Artificial intelligence, there's so much increase in that. And likewise, also in the spirit, also there's also an overflow of spiritual wisdom. There's an overflow of knowledge that God is teaching his people. God is releasing grace in this time, in this season, and it is for us to plug in. And anytime you see something in the natural, also know that the similar effect is taking place in the spiritual, or rather even it has already taken place in the spiritual. So you must always connect. If there are events, if there are things that are happening, always ask yourself, what is God shifting? What is God doing in this time that I need to understand, I need to connect to, and I need to be sensitive? So always look at events as being indicative of things, and the things that we should be concerned, and know that there are transitions taking place, and God also desires to move us to other levels. And so we see, and now we're reading in Acts chapter 7, and we were able to see till another king which arose that knew not Joseph. And this is Acts chapter 7 verse 18. And we were able to see how God was able to multiply the children of Israel. They went 75 men, but they were coming out a nation. And I think they try to say it's almost about 1 million people. I'm not sure of the exact figure, but there's that estimate that is there. But you see, verse 18 tells us that till another king arose which knew not Joseph. Verse 19, the same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, so they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. Okay. So that time, it's saying that in the time when Moses was born, but then a new king came to the throne of Egypt. Let me just read with a different version so that at least it's easier for our understanding. Verse 18 says, but then a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. This king exploited our people and oppressed them, forcing parents to abandon their newborns so they would die. Remember that time the newborns were being thrown into River Nile, and all the males' children were supposed to be thrown. But then the Bible says, at that time Moses was born, a beautiful child in God's eyes. And his parents cared for him at home for 3 months. When they had to abandon him, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own son. Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. That means he was mighty in words and deeds. Now, just if we were to stop there, you'll ask yourself, look at how such a terrible time it was. The Israelites have grown so many that the Egyptians realize that we need to put these people in slavery. Why? Because they have grown mightier than us. And if an enemy attacks us and they turn and join the enemy, we will be defeated. So they were like, let us deal cunningly with them. Let us deal shrewdly with them. So you can imagine a people who are bigger than you, but these people use cunningness and they overpower them. They overpower them despite being weaker than them. Look at how the Egyptians were doing it. They were cunning. They used their shrewdness. They overpowered a people who are mightier than them and put a people mightier than them in slavery. Look at that and ask yourself, why should those that are mighty be put in bondage? And that's why the Bible says, I've seen a reckless evil under the sun, that the sons, you know, the princes are walking on foot, whereas beggars are riding on horseback. That means that a people who are mighty who are made slaves. But you see, they were dealt shrewdly. And then the Bible says that they even were telling them that, you know, all boys must be thrown into the river, River Nile, but only the girls to be kept. But the Bible says Moses was born in a time such as this. And you can see God choosing him, God seeing him and saying that this baby is beautiful in my eyes. And the parents saw that this child was fair, and by faith they hid him for 3 months. And the Bible says when they were unable to hide him anymore, they just put him in the river. They put him on a boat, and look at how God prepares Pharaoh's daughter to find the baby Moses and raises up Moses as his own son. And Moses is taught all the wisdom. The Bible says that he was taught all the wisdom of Egypt. That means that he was learned in the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds, in both speech and action. And I asked myself, the Bible is telling us that Moses was mighty in speech and action. But then when Moses was being called, he was saying that he is a stammerer, he cannot speak. But you see, the witness of the Spirit is that the Moses was mighty in deeds and actions. But to himself, he saw himself not being mighty. And so he was debating with God as to whether he can be the one to do it, until God got angry and called Aaron. Now, Aaron was not supposed to have a ministry. But you see, because Moses did not see what the Spirit of God had placed in him. Why? Because it is the Spirit of God that was calling. And he said, if they are to ask me, who sent me? Just say, I am. I am who I am, has sent you. That means I will be whatever that I will be to you. When God says, I am who I am, is that I will appear in the way you want me to appear. That means that if the day that you want me to be your deliverer, I will come as a deliverer. The day that you want me to be your healer, I will come as your healer. The day you want me to be the one as to make a way for you, I will make a way. I am who I am. I can come. I will be in whatever form that you need me to appear. Why? Because I exist. I am God. And there's no description that is enough to describe God. But you see, Moses wanted to do it his own way. If we look at verse 23, it says that one day when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. Now, for me, what amazes me is that he, even while he grew up in Pharaoh's house, remember his mother was the one who was given to nurse him. I'm sure he was being told, no, remember, you are not an Egyptian. Remember, you're an Israelite. But I'm sure they were different, even most likely, even in the body, maybe in the color and everything. But you see, when he went to visit his relatives, the Bible tells us he saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite. So Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites will realize that God had sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. Now, what we are seeing is that the call of God started to work in Moses. As he went, yes, he was called. He was in Pharaoh's house. He was enjoying everything that he needed. He forsook, the Bible tells us, by faith, Moses forsook the riches of Egypt, because he saw God. He met God. He encountered God. And so you can see how God was preparing this man. He trained him. He chose him as a child. He rescued him as the only, as one of the boys, or the only boy in that time when boys were being killed. He saved him. He put him in the enemy's house. He raised him there. He taught him all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And then beyond that, then now he starts to move in his life. And when he starts to move in his life, then he finds that Moses goes to meet the Israelites. And when he finds that an Egyptian is mistreating an Israelite, he kills the Egyptian. Now you see, the challenge is God really had called Moses already to be a deliverer. He knew that in his heart. And that's why it's saying when Moses, he assumed that the fellow Israelites would have known that God had sent him. But you see, he was doing it in his own pattern. He was doing it in his own human effort. He thought it is by killing, it was, he thought but it was by the arm of flesh that he was going to deliver the people of Israel. And you see, that's the challenge, that God's work can be so important that he can delay it even because the man is not ready. If you look at history, the Bible tells us that they took 430 years to leave Egypt. They were in Egypt for 430 years. But you see, the prophecy of God had said that they were to be delivered at when they were 400 years. God had told Abraham that they are going to be slaves for 400 years. But they became 430. Now that tells you that ideally God's plan was with Moses earlier on, he will start, and by the time they are 400 years, they will go. But the act of Moses killing the Egyptians, acting in his own wisdom, in his own energy, in his own anger, he did that, and he had to go into the wilderness for 40 years. Now, that 40 years that God takes to prepare him is also time that the Israelites are staying more in slavery. And let's carry on. Let's see. But then the next day when he visited them and saw two men of Israel fighting, he tried to be a peacemaker. Men, he said, you are brothers. Why are you fighting each other? Verse 27. But the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside and said, who made you a ruler and judge over us? Are you going to kill me the way as you killed that Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard that, he fled the country and lived as a foreigner in the land of Midian. There his two sons was born. Verse 30, 40 years in the desert, later in the desert near Mount Sinai, an angel appeared to Moses in the flame of a burning bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. Then, and as he went to take a closer look, the voice of the Lord called out to him. I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And Moses shook with terror and did not dare to look. Verse 33. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their groans, and have come down to rescue them. Now go, for I am sending you back to Egypt. So verse 35, so God sent back the same man his people had previously rejected when they demanded, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Through the angel who appeared to him in the burning bush, God sent Moses to be their ruler and savior. And by means of many wonders and miraculous signs, he led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and through the wilderness for 40 years. Verse 37, and Moses himself told the people of Israel, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your people. And Moses with our ancestors, the assembly of God, or rather the church of God, of God's people in the wilderness, when the angel spoke to him at Mount Sinai, and there Moses received the life-giving words to pass on to us. Now, I want you to see what is happening, the flow of the story. So Moses has tried to be a deliverer using his own terms, going before God had given him the specific assignment. You see, it's like God has called you, yes, but he has not yet assigned you. So there's a difference between the calling and the task. So tasks are given a time bound, tasks are specific, tasks, you wait for the task. The more God anoints you, the more God gives you the responsibility, the more you also learn to be measured in how you approach things. So there are things that God will communicate to you, but it does not mean that it is time for you to communicate them to others. There are things that God will be teaching you at this time, but it does not mean that it is time for you to teach them to others. So there are things that God is still working, and God was still working in Moses. But you see, because Moses was not yet ready, even though yet God had already revealed to him that he was a deliverer, he was coming to rescue his people, he took it in his own effort, and by that it resulted in a delay in himself and also in a delay in the people of Israel leaving Egypt. So God's work is so crucial that he would rather take time to prepare the man, the deliverer, rather than take an unprepared person and the work collapses. So the preparation phase is very important. We must always know, we must always be sensitive that God is always at work to prepare us. So never mistake the time of preparation. Never look at it differently. So because Moses was not yet ready, he did it in his own effort. And when he did that, he killed and he had to go to the wilderness. But God still met him in the wilderness. You see, the thing is, the callings and giftings of God are without repentance. When God has called you and God has assigned you something, as long as you're still willing, as long as you're still broken, no matter how far you've fallen, there is something that God has on chosen people. There's something that God, it's like a covenant that God has on those that bear his spirit, those that are anointed of him, that despite what, how much they go, he still draws them. And you can see how he worked in his parents, how from a child he had chosen him, how from every aspect of his life, if he looks back, he can see really it was the hand of God. And even if we examine ourselves, we who know Christ, we who have the same spirit of Christ, because as we have the spirit of Christ, we are also chosen by God. We are favored. When God announced that this is the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee, that means that favor comes to be part of us. His favor becomes part of us and it lasts a lifetime. And in the same way that that favor starts to work, is the same way that now that favor finds us even when we're in the ditches, when we're in the trenches. And God found him in the wilderness. And the Bible says, through the angel of the Lord, he saw the burning bush. And when he came to the burning bush, the voice of the Lord spoke to him and asked him, take off your shoes. Where you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I'm going to send you. And you see, that's the point where now Moses starts to argue. And I think if you have time, go just to Exodus and look at that and read again and see how he was a witness in his time. Because this Stephen is just giving them a summary. He's just trying to tell them that over time, everyone has come forth as a witness of Christ. And he's telling them that, you see, what did Moses eventually say? Moses told them that in God will send you a prophet, will raise you a prophet like me, a deliverer like me, who from among your people. And he's trying to tell them, who is this deliverer? This deliverer is Jesus Christ, the one whom you killed and crucified, but who God raised and has set him at the right hand of the Father and has anointed him to be the Christ. And has given him the name that is above every other name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth must bow. Now, someone will argue, oh, and there's always this argument, oh, is it an angel or is it Lord? But you will see, one of the things that you'll have to understand is that in the scriptures, when it speaks of the Old Testament, God will appear. At times you will find it says the angel of the Lord. When it says the angel of the Lord, it could have been an angel, but also it could have been Christ, because Christ also is referred to as an angel of the Lord. Because when the angel of the Lord appears, he accepts worship. Remember when he came to Samson and he said, okay, do the burnt offering and then I will ascend in it and I will accept it. You understand? So he accepted worship. So when the angel of the Lord comes, that means it is Christ coming. He accepts worship, and that's why it says, it tells us the voice of the Lord spoke to him. So someone will argue, oh, is it an angel or is it God? Is it who gave the Lord to Moses? It is God himself. And this is the angel of the Lord referring to Christ, the spirit of Christ. So it's the spirit of Christ that called Moses, that gave him the law. And beyond that, you can see that Moses tells them that God will also raise a prophet. And he says, and he spoke this to the church that was in the wilderness. And I like the way it is described, the church that was in the wilderness. Why? Because there were people, there were an assembly of God. It was a chosen people of God. God was moving with them. You can imagine, these were people who at night they had fire. Fire was above them, warming them. Because you can imagine how cold a desert is. And during the day, how hot it is. A cloud, a pillar of cloud was covering them. As you move, you're moving with shade. As you move, as you sleep at night, there's fire above you. These are the signs and miracles that the Israelites lived in and walked in. They saw God, but you see, can you imagine? They still asked for watermelons and cucumbers and pots of Egypt and pots of meat in Egypt. Their hearts were still not willing, and that's why they had to delay in the wilderness, because God was angry with them. The Bible says that he was distressed and he said, let me just destroy these people, because their hearts are always astray. But Moses said, but no, what will people say? For your name, what will people say? Just because of me? No, let me stand in the gap. Deliverers are people who God calls. They're called for their generation. They see the struggles of their generation, but they stand in the gap and they're like, God, just for the sake of me, do not destroy my family. For the sake of me, do not destroy this nation. For the sake of me, for the sake of the few of us that are here, keep us. Keep us, sustain us, have mercy. For the sake of your name, are there people who will stand and say, oh God, for the sake of your name, this country will stand. For the sake of your name, my family will stand. For the sake of your name, my children will stand. Despite the challenges, despite the weaknesses, despite their issues. But then when Moses was about to go, he said, don't worry, God will send you a prophet like me. This prophet is Jesus Christ. Verse 39, it tells us, but our ancestors refused to listen to Moses. They rejected him and wanted to return to Egypt. They told Aaron, make us some gods who can lead us, for we don't know what has become of this Moses who brought us out of Egypt. So they made an idol shaped like a calf, and they sacrificed to it and celebrated over this thing they had made. Then God turned away from them, abandoned them to serve the stars of the heavens as their gods. And it carries on and on. And then eventually we get to the time of Joshua and then David. Look at the witness of Moses. Look at the spirit of Christ working in Moses. And picture yourself in that story. Picture yourself even now. Reflect on your life. I believe you have a testimony that God has been working in your life, and he will continue to do so, and he continues to prepare you. And for you, it is to plug into the works that God has prepared in advance for you. The Bible says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, that we should walk in them. There is a work that God has prepared that we are just to walk into it. But let us not walk in our own effort. Let us not be impatient. Let us be sensitive. Let us be patient. Let us not reject the Spirit of Christ. Because when he calls us to do something, it is so crucial that we do it. Maybe it will just be to rescue someone in a critical time. And God knew that it is you that I was counting on. And it is you that I'm counting on. And he raises you up for that reason. Anyone that has found their purpose will be effective in the ministry and service of God, because you don't have to be on the pulpit to serve God. You can serve God anywhere where God has placed you. I will stop there and welcome any reflections, my brothers and sisters. Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you, Doctor. I will not add anything to what you said.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I also don't have anything to add, but thank you for sharing.
Amen. Amen. Okay, let's give glory to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you glory. Thank you that indeed you've called us to be witnesses, oh God. And today we've been able to see the witness of your servant Moses. And the Bible says Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant. As a servant, he was faithful, oh God. And Father, you are looking for those that will be faithful to serve you, just as Christ was faithful as a son in all God's house, oh God. You're looking not just beyond servants, you're looking for sons, oh God. And you've raised us up to be sons in the house of God. My God, I pray that we may find the purpose that you called us to do, oh God, the purpose that you created us for, the purpose that you brought us together in families, in marriages, oh God, in homes, oh God, in nations, oh God, in universities, oh God, in workplaces, oh God, in the marketplace. There is a purpose that you called us to, oh God, in nations, oh God, that you have called us and you have set us a time for us, that we should serve you in our time, in our gene, in our generation, oh God. And we see the witness of Moses, oh God, that you prepared him. I pray that you prepare us as well, oh God. Work in us, oh God, the things that are not right, the things that need to be aligned for you to use us. Oh God, I pray that you help us, oh God. Align us, oh God. Teach us your ways, oh God. Enroll us in your training, oh God. And may we be taught of you, oh God. May we understand the things that we need to do to move into the works that you have prepared for us, oh God. May we be found to be faithful and worthwhile and teachable and available servants that you can use, oh God. And I thank you for them that do not know you, them that are far away from you, them that have seen and have reflected of your faithfulness, and yet they are away from you, oh God. I pray that even right now, as they confess their sins and they put their faith in God, that, Lord, you're restoring them, oh God. You're returning the peace of God, the grace of God in their lives, and they're feeling your spirit in them. And you're awakening those things that were dead and bringing them to life, oh God, through your life-giving spirit. And I pray that you carry on to watch over us. I thank you for this day, that this day is blessed, that everything that we do is blessed. We pray for those who are unwell. We speak life, we speak health, and we speak your blessing over them that are depending on you, oh God. And even as we do our works, the Lord, you go ahead of us. Thank you for the services that we shall have, that your grace shall be with us and your presence with us. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed.